Well, you guys might know this song, so sing along if you know it.
Well, hang on there. Are you going for it? Okay. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Oh, 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 oh. Satisfies only you, Lord. You are my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, your presence, my life. King of heaven, my treasure, you are.
Oh, hi, kid.
I'm King of heaven, when victory's won, may I reach heaven's joy, your bright and sun. Part of my own heart, whatever.
Church today. There's a lot of you today and you're all looking very special and beautiful. Just to remind you to keep safe with our COVID regs. Make sure that you're the appropriate social distance. You've signed in. You've cleansed yourself with the what is it called? The hand sanitizer. You've been sanitized. It's not quite washed in the blood of the Lamb, but it's what they ask us to do. So I'm going to start with a psalm today, Psalm 27. And the very first verse says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And that is what we'll be talking about today. Karen will be talking to us about us being the light of the world, about Jesus being the light of the world. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surround me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident, The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all my days, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. Let's pray. Father God, as we come into your temple today, this outside temple, your creation, Lord, help us to meditate on you. Help us to focus on you. Help us to appreciate the fact that you are the light of the world. And without you, we would be stumbling around in darkness. But with you, our light and our salvation, we need not be afraid. Lord, we praise you and give you all glory. And we worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Let's stand and praise his great name.
Heavenly Father, we want to welcome you here this morning. We thank you that you are here with us today. And Lord, we just ask for a special blessing on those folk who haven't been able to join us today, that Lord, your name will be glorified. And Lord, that they will seek you and they will want to worship you in their places where they are. Father, we thank you for everyone here today. We pray that you'll keep each of us safe. And Lord, we pray for those who can't be at a service anywhere. And we pray that these people will be uplifted by your Holy Spirit. Father God, be with us now as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's kids' time. Hello, is this one? All right. So, welcome to church this morning, kids. Do we have any birthdays or lost teeth this week? No birthdays? Any wobbly teeth? Yeah, Imogen's birthday's in December, coming up, a couple months away. All right, does anybody have any super duper super exciting news that happened this week? Kira?
Me, Nanny and Amy got new dresses and swimsuits.
Very exciting. A bit of a shopping trip. Imogen, did you have something else? Same thing. Very nice. Any other news? Nope. All right. So, I'm going to ask you guys, if you were in a pitch black room, what are some things that could give us light? If you could just come up with something of thin air that give us light, what would you choose? Levi?
A light bulb.
A light bulb? Very nice. Imogen, what else? A light switch? Yep. What else gives us light? Anything else? What about, what's in the sky right now?
The sun?
Yeah, what about something that you might make with a match?
Fire.
Fire, yeah. What about at nighttime? What's in the sky that gives us light at nighttime?
The moon.
The moon, yeah, kind of. So the moon actually doesn't produce light. We're going to have a little science lesson here. But what does it do? How do we get light from the moon? Do you know, Levi?
It reflects onto the moon and it goes through.
Yeah, so if you didn't hear that, the sun shines on the moon and reflects off the moon onto Earth. And that's how we get moonlight. So, in the Bible, we are told to let Jesus' light shine through us. So if Jesus is the sun, we are supposed to be the moon who reflects Jesus' love and grace and all of his works onto earth. See how that works? Yeah? So when you guys go up to Sunday school today, you're going to talk a little bit more about how you can reflect Jesus' light onto earth. Alright? Alright, so in a minute, Jess has got to do the announcements. So I'm just going to get you guys to just take a seat in the front row here. And then after Jess does the announcements, you guys are going to go out.
Thanks, Brittany. So put your hand up if you knew that the moon was only reflecting light and not producing it. About 3%. Oh, okay. Science lesson as well. Awesome. So I am going to talk about some announcements. So next Sunday the 18th is going to be a big Sunday. So we have our junior soldier enrollment happening. So we've got two new junior soldier enrollments. We also are having our junior soldier renewals. So all of our current junior soldiers are going to be doing their renewal. So that will be really exciting for the kids. Hey, yeah. They're excited. We will also be having a guest speaker, Major Derek and Sonia Whitehouse. So that will be good for you guys. And Picnic in the Park is also next Sunday. So afterwards, you are all more than welcome to come along to our Picnic in the Park. It's at Cremunda Park from 12:30 till 2:30. So bring along your own lunch and we can sit down and fellowship together. And there is also the missionary market stalls next Sunday as well. So that is all the announcements that I have for you today. And now we will be taking up the offering.
We're going to sing a new song for you. Well, when I say new, it's new for us to sing. We've heard it, we've had it played on the AV a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. We're going to have a go at singing it for you this morning as the offering's taken up. So feel free to sing along if you know it or to sit and listen and to enjoy what we bring for you. Thank you, June.
Getting through. fact within our minds it is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. He is worthy.
Maybe we need a chat in the chapel theme. Where's Gary? Maybe we could work on that. Chat in the chapel theme. Anyway, it's chat in the chapel time, and I'm inviting two beautiful people from our congregation. Where will the spotlight fall? Oh, they've already decided. They're on their way. So we have Ken and Joy Harvey, and they will have a microphone each. We move over in the shade a little bit. That is a good idea. So, hello, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Enjoying the weather?
Yeah, it should be on.
Hey, Tim, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Ken and Joy. So, let me start by asking how long you guys have been coming to Caloundra Salvos and why did you come to the best part of the world?
This time?
Well, yes. Most recently.
Most recently. Well, we came back from Roma at the beginning of last year. And we'd been coming here prior to that for five years. Yeah. Why did we come to this part of the world? Partly because of work, partly because the kids were here. Then the other kids came as well. So that makes life real easy.
And have you guys been members of the Salvation Army all your life or more recently?
I came into the Salvation Army, not all my life, but for the first 17, 18 years, I didn't know the Lord, and I came to know the Lord through the Salvation Army. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? How did that come about? Because, I mean, as an 18-year-old getting radically saved, that can really turn your life upside down.
Yeah, it certainly did. Well, it was quite a story, which I won't have the time to go into to today, but my family, I was born over in Bonnie, Scotland. We lived in England until I was 11 years of age, didn't know God, and my whole family had nothing to do with God whatsoever. And we came out here to Australia, and my sister actually became a Christian not long after we came out here, and she was really encouraging me, took me along to Baptist youth fellowships and whatever. And sadly, my dad turned on my sister, and she left home. And just a few years later, after that, in my final year of high school, in the midst of a family tragedy in that my parents split up and divorced, I remember getting down on my knees in my bedroom when I came home from school that day when my father was never to return, and just saying, God, if you're out there, I kind of need you now. And at that point, I just knew that I needed to, I knew God's strength. I didn't know God at that point, but I just knew that God's strength was there. And just a couple of months later, beautiful man who led me to the Lord, Major Noel Reeves, was the Corps officer in Tamworth, where Joy and I met and where I came to the Lord.
And Joy, is your story similar?
Or? No. My maternal grandfather had been an officer before he married my grandmother. And so I think that my dad hadn't been Salvation Army, but he'd been a Christian as a young man, come to the Lord as a teenager. And so after he married Mum, whenever he could, because we lived out of town, or they lived out of town, he would take her into town to either to the army or to Home League or whatever. So that connection was there. But at some point, well before I was born, he became a soldier at the Salvation Army. And so I've been going to the army since conception. my mother and father were teaching Sunday school out of town as well. And I was in Sunday school from the age of 2 weeks. So.
And you never looked back? No, I won't ask you that.
No.
Today, Karen's going to talk to us about that verse from Matthew where Jesus talks about us being the salt of the world and the light of the world, the light for the world, the light of the world. We'll find out at the sermon. Well, Jan's going to read the that passage for us, so we'll clarify that in a second. But what does that mean for you, salt and light? You've probably heard that quite a few times during your Christian journey, to be the salt of the world and the light of the world. How does that play out in your daily lives now?
Oh, well, in my workplace, I suppose I'm not particularly permitted to evangelize, I will use those words. However, there are opportunities for me along the way to support other staff members. I've had the opportunity to pray with some of them along the way, and a few of the residents too. They're happy to accept prayer. And it's amazing how quickly the staff that I work with, you know, they might swear a bit, and I'll say, hey, you don't need that language. Or there was a time when I had a swear jar in my office to raise funds for disadvantaged children. And that sort of just got round. And when new people come, they'll say, don't say that in front of Joy, or, you know, and then others will say, oops, I shouldn't say that. So there's a light there that they recognise that I'm a Christian. Sometimes it's a derogatory comment as well. Water off a duck's back, because it's not me that they're mocking, really, it's God. But I still just keep on being the person that God's made me to be.
And I'm privileged to work in an environment where, working in the courts here in Brisbane, and we bring light into a dark place. I've spent time both as a prison chaplain and also as a court chaplain, and often I hear that word light. You bring light into the place. So it's not about me, but it's about God. I guess that being able to reflect that light that we talked about earlier. It's a great privilege to do that and to speak into people's lives, because the scriptures tell us that we carry the presence of Christ in us, and carrying the presence of Christ brings that light. Can I just share one very quick story from a couple of weeks ago, because this has really stuck in my mind in the years of ministry I've had in the court. But I had just visited one court, and I was going into another one just to attend to some needs for some defendants in that particular court. As I was walking from one court to the other, one of the security guys said, Ken, can you come over here? There's a woman sitting on the floor over here just sobbing her heart out. I've tried to talk to her, but she doesn't want anything to do with me. I said, well, don't take that personally. It's the fact that you represent an authority to her. And she was not in a good space in her head. Anyway, I crouched down in front of her, and she was sobbing her heart out, introduced myself to her, and said, look, would you like to talk? She said yes, she would. So I was able to sit down socially distanced on the ground next to her and share with her story very quickly. The day before she came to court, she had attempted suicide. And she was going through that court process that day that I was with her. And her words to me was, when I finished here, I am finished with this world. And she was, again, at great risk. Because she was sobbing, it allowed me to do two things. One, to go and get her some tissues, and two, to get some help. So we had her assessed. We did a risk assessment with one of the staff, put some support plans around that lady's life, bringing light into darkness. I went and spoke to the young staff member who'd assisted me earlier on, went and saw that she was okay later on, and she just said to me, Ken, two things. That lady wanted to say thank you for sitting with me, and two, thank you for bringing light into my life. And that's God. Yeah. That's God.
Yeah, that is true. One last question before you go. So probably most of you will know that we have a new family store at Biwa. It was set to open at the beginning of the year, but COVID slowed us down. So it's been open for about, I think, 3 months now, doing okay. The plan was always to have a Connect site there, because we don't just want to open stores, which does help people and it helps us with the funds raised, but we want to be missional in that area. So our idea was to always have a Connect site there and then move into the community, hopefully from there, as God enables. And Ken has volunteered to be the Connect person there on Mondays. And tomorrow is your first day. What are you expecting, Ken?
Look, I'm looking forward to it. I've already looked to see that I've actually got somebody who's going to require some assistance. I've checked the system out. I'm excited. I'm sure we all are, because of the fact that we're Christians and that we're salvationists, and we have that great opportunity of speaking into people's lives. So I'm just looking forward to that environment, going around, even popping around the store, just greeting people and speaking life, because that's what we do, into the lives of those people that I meet. It's a great missional opportunity, Tim, and I'm just very grateful to God that we can just reach out into the Beerware area.
So I'd like to pray for you guys now, for you as a family, but also for the new ministry that you'll be imparting on from tomorrow, that God will bless that, and that the influence that we have of the Salvation Army will reach into that area when people will come to know Jesus. Father God, we thank you for Joy and for Ken. I thank you that in their workplaces they shine the light that you have given them, that they reflect your glory in their interactions with people. Lord, I pray more and more that they will glow for you, so that people will ask what it is different about Joy and about Ken, so that people can come to know you. And sometimes, Lord, when we shine our light, yes, we do get criticisms, we do get persecutions, Lord. But as Joy said, it's not us that they're really angry with. It's you, Lord. So for people in those sorts of situations, I pray for healing, I pray for hope, and I pray for your love. I want to pray now for and ask you, God, for Ken's efforts, which is really your efforts, Lord, in the community of Biwa. Lord, as we take that next step into that space, into that community, offering help with some physical and financial assistance, I know, Lord, that you have gone before. Spirit of God, you've gone before and you've prepared hearts and minds, you've prepared places. So, Lord, as you expand your territory into that area, as you move and hearts are changed and lives are changed, and through the Salvation Army and through your church, people come to know you, Jesus, I pray that, you receive all the glory and that it is all for your kingdom. Yeah. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Like to join me in thanking these two fine upstanding people as they return to their seats.
How great is our God? James, how great is our God? Yes. Okay, he wants more time to think about it. It's indescribable, the greatness of our God, is what James was saying then. And I would agree. Words fail me. Well, sing with me then, how great is our God. Let's. You can stand, you can sit, you can dance, whatever makes you feel comfortable.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God and three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing to me, how great is our God, and all will see how great. The name above all names, you are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. You're the name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great.
Please be seated.
It's very fitting this morning that this scripture I'm going to read is a message from Jesus that was given on a hillside So I want you just to imagine that hill over there. The Mount of Beatitudes is not quite as steep as that, but it does rise up from the Sea of Galilee. And the words I'm going to read are the words of Jesus. So I want you to receive these words of Scripture this morning, coming to you straight from the mouth of our Lord Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, he says to you and me today, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Jesus goes on to say to you and me today, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house." Jesus says to us, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Thank you, Jesus, for that challenge.
Got to find the right spot. It's good to see some faces today that we haven't seen for quite a while. So if you haven't been here, some of you haven't been back since we stopped worshipping together for COVID. So it's great to have you here today. Others of you, I haven't seen your faces before and you're new to me, and it's great to welcome you. It's good, isn't it, to gather like this out in the sunshine? Now, Tim and I had a holiday a couple of weeks ago, and Tim shared last week, and I saw the Lumley somewhere. Tim shared last week in your absence about your Christmas lights, and it was mostly positive. You can hit him up later about it, and he'll tell you what he said. But another thing I was thinking this morning, while we were up there, we had a fire pit at the little cottage that we were staying in. People like a fire pit. Who's a yes for a fire pit? Sitting around in the backyard around a little fire pit. No for fire pit. Oh, who's the no? Any no's? Okay. Smoke gives you asthma. No good. Well, we lit a fire there on two nights. And although we sat in the same place, we used the same firewood. It was pretty much the same thing. Actually, I lit the first fire. And Tim lit the second fire, which could put a bit of difference there. But really, the fire was the same. The difference was the first night, it was quite cloudy. And so we kind of spot the moon and spot the stars, but then the clouds would roll over and it just wasn't quite so spectacular. But the second night that we lit our fire and enjoyed the sitting outside around the fire pit, it was just so beautiful, the contrast between that darkness and the brightness of the lights. And I suppose being up in the hinterlands, we're a little bit further away from all that visual pollution. It was just beautiful to see it. And that picture of light in the darkness and the contrast of the lights has been something that's been a real recurring theme over and over in what I've been reading and talking about and pondering and what we've been talking about here at work in our, and with our staff. And it's just, I kind of thought, all right, God, I get the message. You really want us to shine our light, or you're really hitting home that message. So I think I'd better talk about being God's light and shining his light today. So I want to invite you to join me on a bit of a light walk today, because I'm going to go to the very beginning of the Bible, the end of the Bible, and a few bits in between. So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to skip around a bit. And if you don't and you want to get some idea of these verses later, please feel free to ask me. So, Genesis 1.
I'm going to start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. Genesis 1 says this, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, what did he say? Let there be light. And there was. And the darkness, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. I recall being in a workplace where people there weren't Christians, but when they walked in, they would say, let there be light, and turn on the lights. It's a thing that people say, whether or not they know that that's what God said in the beginning. It's something that's very commonly known. But God did say that, let there be light. I wonder if you can imagine what that might have looked like, this darkness hovering over the earth. The Spirit of God hovered over this darkness. It creates one kind of a picture. I remember listening to a lady at Captivated who talked about that Hebrew word, that ruach, that like spirit hovering over the water. And it just creates this really vivid picture in my mind. So I'm going to take that picture and just put it over here for a minute and move to the other end of the Bible, to Revelation. And the last chapter of Revelation, in fact. And last week, Tim talked to us about Revelation. He talked to us about that overwhelming experience. That may be perhaps what referred to your Christmas experience for Tim. God's revelation to us and the glory of God and the throne and the angels and the lights and the sounds. And reading now from that last chapter of Revelation, Revelation 22:5 says this, there will be no more light. No more night. N-I-G-H-T. There'll be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. They won't need to turn any switches on or light a candle. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. So there's two different pictures, one from the beginning in Genesis, one from the end in Revelation. They both talk of creation, of God's creation and in the beginning, and of God's recreation of the new heaven and the new earth. The difference, like a before and after or a renovation shot, is the word of God, the voice of God, the hand of God in creating that. So the whole of God's world word really starts and ends and is filled with these images of darkness and light. All the way through his word we see these images. And it's no surprise because God is the author of this book and God is the creator of this light. He brings it all together as only God can. So I'm going to head back towards the beginning to Numbers. And there's a passage which is familiar. If you were watching online during COVID, I actually spoke about the blessing. And this is in Numbers chapter 6. It's Aaron's priestly blessing from verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So there's another great picture. The Israelites standing here before God in the desert having fled Egypt, and they come to God, they're seeking his face, and they are blessed that the Lord's face will shine on them. This bright light of the Lord's face will be on them. So God created the light. The light comes from God. The Lord God will give them light. And here we see this blessing that God would shine his light. Shine himself on them and bless them. In Exodus, jumping back again, another couple of chapters, we read how Moses had been with God up in the mountains. He'd been away with God 40 days, and God had given him the instructions there. He'd given him the Ten Commandments and spoken to him. He'd actually had a second turn at it because he came down and smashed the tablets and went up again. But this time, I'm going to read from Exodus 34, starting at 29, when Moses came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, So Aaron and the leaders of the community came back and he spoke to them. And when Moses had finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. So his face was so radiant, he covered his face with a veil. In Genesis, God said, "Let there be light." In Revelation, God will be the light. He will give the people light. In Numbers, we see the people asking for a blessing or seeking that blessing with a prayer that asks for God to make his face shine on them. And here we see Moses with a shiny face, a radiant face. Why? Because he'd been in the presence of God. Now, one of the songs that we sing, an old song and a new song that's had a new version of it, "Be Thou My Vision," says this: "You are my vision, O King of my heart. Nothing else satisfies, only you, Lord. You are my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, your presence, my light." God's presence brings that light. God is the light. And one more reference from Isaiah before we jump through to our reading from today. In Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah is talking to the nation of Israel and addressing them and telling them, hey, good things are happening here. Good things are going to come to your nation. And he says this, starting at verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." So what I want to look at there a little more is the verse 2 that says this: "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." Now, darkness, that's a bit of a problem, but thick darkness? Whoa, thick darkness. What does the prophet mean when he says this thick darkness? It takes us back to that first picture in Genesis where the darkness is, the earth is formless and the darkness was over the surface of the deep. This thick darkness, this murky kind of cloudy darkness, is the type that attempts to cover the light. Now, one commentator I was reading writes this: "The two darknesses are a physical darkness, it's dark, and a spiritual darkness or a gloom or an oppression that covers the people." There's lots of thoughts about what that darkness is. But I don't want to make an overgeneralization here. It's not simply a case of dark equals bad, light equals good. It's much deeper than that. And maybe today you might feel like you've been in a time of darkness, or you might have felt that kind of oppression over you and thought, yeah, well, you know, my life's had a lot of darkness in it. Thank you so much, Ken, for sharing about bringing that light. That is what we're here to do. But that sense of darkness, maybe a mental illness or a physical illness that just seems to drag you down. And maybe during this time, this whole pandemic thing, you see that as a darkness that's been over the world. But in the midst of that, the encouragement is God's presence remains. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So be assured today, if you're feeling like there's darkness and you're feeling a bit weighed down by the darkness over you, Jesus' light is the answer, and Jesus will never leave us. Now, we say God is light, and many things about the nature of God and the nature of light, not surprisingly, line up. So what does light do? There's a few things here. I'm going to talk about what the light actually does and how that relates to God. So light shows us the way. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." If we want to make our way somewhere in the middle of the night and we don't want to fall down the stairs, James, we turn the light on so that we don't stumble. And light shows us the way. Same with God. God shows us the way. He is our light. Light shows that which is otherwise unseen. It makes the things clear that would otherwise be hidden. As I get older and my eyes don't work as well, I like to turn the brightness up on my iPad, much to the, distaste of Tim sometimes, who sits over and goes, "Whoa, wow, what's that bright light? Can you turn it down? I'm trying to sleep here." But the brightness helps things be clear. If I can't read the directions on those little recipe packs or the labels on things, I turn the light, shine a light on them, and it makes it clearer. We also use this phrase, we want to shed some light on something. We want it to be revealed. We want to make it clearer. So God shines his light and he reveals our innermost thoughts and our deepest troubles and our deepest beliefs and feelings. Light brings us hope and comfort. Things always seem much better by the light of a new day. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's great, isn't it? When the despair or the troubles that come in the night, the sun comes up and it's as if they were never there again. Might be oversimplifying it, but really, the light of day brings us comfort and brings us hope. So I asked Google this question, what does light mean? And it's given me a list of things. Have a listen to these and see if you agree with these things. This is what light means. Light means safety, life, direction, warmth, beauty, colour, variety. Light means purpose, purity, joy, fellowship, healing, and overwhelming goodness. Let me read each of those things again, but change that word light means to God's light brings. So let me reread those things and just have a think about each of these. Perhaps there's one that really resonates with you deeply today. God's light brings safety. God's light brings life. God's light brings direction. God's light brings warmth. God's light brings beauty and colour. God's light brings variety. God's light brings purpose. God's light brings purity. God's light brings joy, fellowship, healing, and God's light brings overwhelming goodness. Moving into the New Testament, John chapter 8, verse 12, we read this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As the church of God, we're called to be bearers of his light. We've sung words about lights. As we look through the songs this week and look through things, the number of Christian songs and verses and choruses that talk about light is just amazing. I don't know if there's more songs written about anything else, perhaps love, but so many things about light. In our reading today, Jesus addressed the crowd that had gathered. And Jan's just said, they're sitting on the hill. Next week, actually, Sonia, who is bringing the message to us, is going to talk more on the Beatitudes as Jesus presented this to the crowd sitting on the hills. He tells them, and he tells us, the readers, nearly 2,000 years later, that we are to be the salt and we are to be the light. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So if Christ is the light and we are Christians, which literally means a little Christ, then we must be God's little lights. And that's a lesson we teach our children from a young age. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. Do you remember that? Did some of you sing that when you were young? I sure did. In this world of darkness, so we must shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. So we teach that to children, but it's not something we just need to learn as little kids. How do we shine though? Without the light in us, we have nothing to give out. We can't reflect Jesus' light if we don't have Jesus' light shining. So that's the first thing. We need to have Jesus, the light, in our lives. We cannot shine our own source of light. We will never experience that brightness without knowing Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus today, this is a great day to ask him to bring his light and to dwell within you. If that's something for you, please speak to someone today. If you want to know more about, look, I actually do believe I want to be a Christ follower. I want to share his light. Secondly, we don't hide away. No one lights a candle and then sticks a bowl over it. Or as it says in the message, don't put a bucket over it. Don't put your torch on and then put a bucket over it. Be true to who you are and let people see your light. Now, God equips us and he enables us to do his will. So we don't need to be afraid or to fear that we can't do something. Now, remember Moses and his shiny face? That shiny face, that radiance came from being in God's presence. So likewise, we need to spend time in God's presence so that we can shine. And thirdly, share your light through your deeds, through what you do. These verses from Matthew 5 in the Message translation put it this way. You're here to be the light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is no secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think you're going to hide it under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So it's up to each one of us to find out on our discovery through life what it is that God wants us to do, to shine in. We're all unique and we'll all shine in our own special way, in our own strength and in the way that God's made us. It's also a responsibility for us as a church to shine together, our collective lights, to put them together. Now on a Tuesday night here, we have dinner. And a lot of you have been involved in that. And some of you have come to dinner here, and that's a fantastic thing. One of the things I really like about it is that we get to be the light, and we get to pray that people coming here will not just come and receive a meal, but feel loved and accepted, and will know that there's something a bit different. So lately we've been joining for prayer before we have Connect and dinner on a Tuesday. And one of the things we've been praying is that this place would really be like the beacon that's set on a hill, like a lighthouse, that people will be drawn here, that they'll know, this is a place I want to come. And our prayer is that people will not only come and enjoy the meal, but actually want to return here, and they feel this sense of peace and belonging here. It's a great opportunity that we have, and not just on Tuesday night, but all the time through this place. We want our church to be a place of acceptance. We want to be a place that's a family, that is welcoming, that is inviting. We want to collectively, as I said, share our light, but we want to be a group of individuals who go out and share our light wherever we go. So will you shine for Jesus? Will you let your life be a beacon of hope for others? I'm going to invite the musicians to come down, and I'd like you to have a look in your newsletter at the words to this next song that we're going to sing together. It says this, when I look into your holiness, we're saying this to God, it's our prayer really, when I look into your holiness and I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I've found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Everything else, all that we have, becomes a shadow when it's compared to the light of God and when it's in the light of you, God. And maybe that's a picture that today you can take from all of these images, all these pictures of light. Maybe that's the one that you want to look at. In the light of everything else, God, in you, everything else fades away. This challenge today is to consider, can you truly worship God as we say these words together? Is that why you live? The chorus says, I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. Remain seated as we sing this together. And maybe you just need to listen and to sit and read through the words as the musicians sing us. But please feel free to join in as we sing together. The reason that I live is to worship you. Thanks.
When I look into your heart. will becomes enthroned in your love. When all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you.
Insignificant in the light of God, nothing else matters. Everything else just fades away. Would you like to stand together? If you want to stand, you're welcome to. And let's sing that through again.
When I look into your
privilege it is to worship you. Lord, help us turn our eyes to you, and may your face shine upon us. Amen.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Thanks, Jess.
Wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have fought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea. billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy, oh my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
There is another verse, but I'm going to read this benediction to you. And I would love that last verse, so we are going to sing it. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Is that the right word, Seth?
Yep.
Fantastic. Let me read this benediction to you first, and then we're going to finish with that song and you can leave singing. Does that sound all right? The prayer of St. Francis this morning. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Amen. Let's sing that last verse.
I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy, as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Thoughts of joy like my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Thank you. Please join us for a cup of tea.